The playoffs are just around the corner, and it is time to oil up. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Edmonton's upcoming playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup this spring and shop the exclusive Oil Up playoff merch and more at nationgear.ca.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Is Matt Tkachuk becoming likable? Let's discuss with the lead. I'll be honest, Liam. Matt Tkachuk's got some pretty good vibes going. Didn't think I'd be saying that a year ago today.
Yeah, didn't think I'd be cheering for him to win the Stanley Cup at this time of year, but it's a crazy world we live in, Tyler. Crazy world.
Welcome into Oilers Nation every day, live from the Sports Closet studio. You can find them online, sportscloset.ca. We are live on the Oilers Nation YouTube, where Parallax has the first comment of the day. Bukestad and Kostin tied Kane and Hyman in playoff goals and tripled Nuge. If the core shows up next playoffs, no reason why we shouldn't still be playing hockey this time next year. I love the optimism. Love it. It also really sums up what went wrong, but we've talked about that enough. We've 100% dissected why the Oilers lost to the Vegas Golden Knights enough on the show. Either way, we'll talk about Klim Kostin a little bit later on today's show. Liam, Panthers sweep their way to the Eastern Conference Finals. I had them winning the series. I had them winning the series in seven, though. I had Dallas winning their series in seven. Still has a chance.
Yep.
But anyways, last night's game, I mean, it's on DFO Live today, I called it, it's the Chucky and Bob show, man. Like, those two seem to be just carrying this team.
I mean, what's Bobrovsky's save percentage? Outrageous. Like, it feels like he's earned his entire
966 in the Eastern Conference Final.
It seems pretty good. I mean, he's earned his entire contract in his playoff run. And Matthew Tkachuk, like, did you not just feel like there was going to be a moment in that game? Like, when they went on that power play, it just felt like something was going to happen. Like, they had so many chances, and obviously Matthew Tkachuk's the ones that finishes it off. And Sally, he is king of celebrations. I love the ones he's done so far. And like, all the rats get thrown on the ice. I think it's just like it's a cinematic moment.
He fits in perfectly. Too, right? Like, that's a guy who's exactly what that fan base kind of needed/wanted. I don't know. The rats being on the ice is a great tie-in. Three game winners in this series, I believe.
Yes, three.
Unbelievable stuff from Matt Tkachuk and the Florida Panthers. Since the NHL shifted to this format with the wildcard teams, I think they're the first wildcard team to go this far.
Because I think the last eight seed to win the Stanley Cup was the Kings, right?
Yes.
And then before that, the last eight team.
Or was it the Blues?
No, the Blues were like seventh or sixth, okay. I think. Before that, though, here's a trivia question. I believe this is right. Who is the first eight seed to ever make it to a Stanley Cup final?
So after the NHL went to it.
This might be wrong.
Is it also Florida?
It's the Edmonton Oilers. Wasn't it 2006? Weren't they the first eight seed to ever go to the Stanley Cup finals? Someone let me know. I think
Someone fact check that. We have no idea if it's right. we think it might be.
Tyler Mulick probably knows.
Ah, there you go.
What? Speaking of Tyler Mulick, he left this comment. Goalie interference or no? I think
yes.
No.
I think yes.
You think so?
His stick pushed his pad and pushed him in that direction and he couldn't make the save. I think it was goalie interference.
I think, so Anderson made the initial contact outside the crease, which I guess isn't really involved in it. And then Bennett puts his stick down, and yes, it kind of goes between his legs. But then whoever the defenseman is kind of like locks him in there a little bit. So I wonder if that was really kind of why.
He got himself into there.
Yeah, but then he had no option to get out because the defenseman wouldn't allow him to get out. It's interesting. I was a little bit surprised they called it back, but they didn't call it back. But NHL wants goals. And that was imagine taking away that moment.
Did you catch after the game, the NHL did their like releasing the explanation on the goal, and Elliot Friedman tweeted it. And this was the NHL's official reasoning on it. Explanation. Again, I'm reading this word for word from the NHL's official release. Okay. Explanation. Video review confirmed no goaltender interference infractions occurred prior to the Matthew Tkachuk goal. That's hardly an explanation.
All right.
That's just the facts.
Yeah.
There is no like, here's why it's not goalie interference, even though the player had his stick in the crease or anything, which I think is so weird. Like you go to the NBA, right? And they have the 2 minute thing and like the calls get explained.
Yeah. They stand there and tell you what it was. And even in the NFL too, right? Yeah. They literally stand there and be like, Holden, this guy, whatever. If it's a little bit more complicated to explain it more, but like it would be nice for the NHL to come out and do that. And actually in soccer, so they just brought in this VAR last couple of years, right? Yeah. So they recently released these videos of what the communication actually sounds like. So the referee, the assistant referee, and the VAR referee are literally all in each other's ears talking about what happened. And a lot of fans are like, okay, so that's how it works. And like brings a bit of like real life to the situation, not just the ref looking at an iPad being like, oh, I don't know. Like there actually is conversations, but a real explanation would be excellent in this.
Yeah. Tyler Mulick, by the way, Liam is in. He's our boy. 2006 Oilers were the first 8 seed to make the cup. Kings were the first to win it in 2012. He goes on to add 94 7 seed Canucks made it, lost in the final. 99 7 seed Sabres lost in the final. 03 7 seed Ducks lost in the final.
I actually think the 2012 Stanley Cup, that was when the Kings won, right? Was Kings the lowest Devils. Seeded Stanley Cup final ever. Because the Devils were like 6 or 7. I think that's also a fact. Could also be wrong. But the Devils were not a high seed. I know that one for sure.
So like we've kind of been making the easy jokes about how we're not that interested in these playoffs and all of that. I honestly, again, it sounds weird to be saying this. Matt Tkachuk is almost single-handedly making me interested in these playoffs.
I'll be completely honest. I have not watched the Vegas and Dallas series. I watched a bit of game one because I was just at the bar and it was on, but I haven't gone out of my way to do it. I have gone out of my way to put the Carolina and Florida series on because, frankly, Matthew Tkachuk has been incredible to watch. And the Florida team in general are just very, very fun. They are a team of rats who are just like the hit Sam Bennett had last night too. Like Calgary must be sitting there being like, what have we done? And I know Sam Bennett like wasn't working when he was there, but like you're like watching it. He's like, okay, well, Sam Bennett's in front. He's laying out massive hits on the best defenseman. And Matthew Tkachuk has 3 overtime goals. And also the fact is Bill Zito went out and got Brandon Montour for like, what was it, a 3rd-round pick of the deadline last year because Aaron Ekblad was hurt. Like the way this team has been formed, and I know it's easy to say now, and if Chicago had just won that game, they wouldn't even be in the playoffs. But this is a real team, and we should have probably expected this a little bit more.
Devils were the 6th seed. Okay.
Yeah. That's settled.
Yeah. We got that settled. Also, Chicago loses that game to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh gets in over Florida and Columbus wins the draft lottery.
Yeah. It's crazy. Different universe. That all happened.
Crazy. Anyways, let's push the playoff talk off to the side. Tonight, Dallas has a chance to Dallas is looking to keep their season alive. We'll touch on that a little bit later with our Betway bets. But let's get into our Sherwood Ford Giant offseason question for the day. Shout out to Sherwood Ford the Giant. Yesterday, Liam, we focused on the top 50 free agents, according to Frank Saravalli's list. We ran through them all 50 names, talked about who could potentially be a fit for this team. Now I want to switch gears a little and dig a layer deeper. Who are some players not on Frank's list that you think the Oilers should target? I'll start with the most obvious one. I was actually a little surprised he didn't at least make an appearance on Frank's list, although I know there are rumblings he might take the year off, he might retire, things like that. Jonathan Toews would fascinate me.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy, again, the health, major red flag. And I'm not even saying that to be like as a shot at him. It's concerning.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, he's had a great career and now he's battled some significant health issues the past couple of seasons. If he is ready to go, though, if he says, I got one more year in the tank, that's a guy who in 53 games scored 15 goals and 16 assists last year. that's like a 20-some goal pace, 23 goal pace, something like that.
We were talking about last season how it was a bit of a turnaround year for him.
Yeah. And then he got sick, or he the health wasn't there. He's made $120 million, I think, over the course of his career in earnings, not in all in just earnings, not endorsements or anything like that, is what I'm trying to say. He's a guy who will not be looking for a payday. There's no way. He's not going to be sitting there going, I need at least $3 million if I'm going to play next year. Mm-hmm. If he's doing it, it's because A, maybe there's a part of him that goes, I want to see what life is like in another organization. Why not? Mm-hmm. And there's a part of him that want to win. A Canadian boy, Western Canadian boy from Manitoba, Winnipeg. Okay, you can say, oh, he's going to sign in with his hometown Jets. Why? They're trash.
Yeah.
Stay in Western Canada, have a chance to win a cup, sign for $1 million, play with Connor and Leon. Why not come play in a Canadian market? I think Jonathan Toews would still be a really interesting fit, and he might be cheaper than a guy like Nick Bjugstad. It should be.
Yeah, he probably would be a little bit cheaper than what Bjugstad's getting. And really, you're almost getting the same amount of output, right? Yep. Or maybe even a little bit more. A guy who can play on the power play a little bit too if you really need him to. They shouldn't. But you know what? If he's like a third, fourth line center for this team next season, like I think you're in a very, very good spot. And maybe just he brings those qualities of what it's like winning a Stanley Cup. He wouldn't be my first option by any means. But if you're looking, like yesterday we spoke about how team needs to find a Matthias Janmark type, someone later on who's going to be a little bit cheaper. And if he's around, then maybe that's an option.
Maynard says, Toews is done. Why are we even talking about this? Parallax says he doesn't seem to want to play anymore. I don't know about that. I think that he might want to play. It's worth bringing up. This is a guy who he fits a Ken Holland mold, right? Same reason he went out and got Duncan Keith. He likes these guys. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think if you're dismissing it this quickly, that's probably a bit of a mistake. And yeah, I think Toews is a guy who needs to be mentioned off the top. I'll let you go next, Liam. Give me a name outside the top 50 you want the Oilers to target.
I'm actually surprised this guy wasn't on it. And I think it's a name I brought up around the deadline, but I wouldn't mind a Connor Sherry on this team. I feel like you get him on a cheapish deal, one of those middle six wingers, and see where you kind of get 15 goals this season with Washington.
Played in their top line a lot.
Two Stanley Cups, I think, his name, maybe three. So it wouldn't be like a bad depth option, I think. What do you kind of think of that one?
I say no to it just because I don't see a ton of upside there. Mm-hmm. I don't see Connor Sherry as a guy with 25 goal potential.
Yeah.
And I think if you're looking for someone to fill the Kyler Yamamoto spot, checking down and spending 1.5 mil on Sherry just gives you what Yamamoto gave you this last year. Sure, it's cheaper, but I think the Oilers need to be striving for improvement, not just for saving money in that spot. You know, if it was JVR at 1.5, I brought him up yesterday, or even two, then it's like, okay, at least there I see 25 goal potential. Mm-hmm. I don't see 25 goal potential with a guy like Connor Sherry. So I think I pass, even if it was at like a discounted rate. I just, again, I don't see enough of a difference maker there to want to go out and save a roster spot for Connor Sherry. The next name I have is Lars Eller.
Yeah, that was that was another guy we brought up around the deadline, right?
Yeah, he went to Colorado. Didn't have like a great playoff run or anything, but vet, kills penalties, should be under $2 million. Like, I'm basically looking at Eller as like, okay, Bjugstad wanted money. He signed 2x2 somewhere. And now we're going to check down. We're going to try find maybe not a second Nick Bjugstad, because I don't know if Eller at his age necessarily has that upside, but someone who, again, kill penalties, reliable bottom 6 minutes, is going to cost you $1.25 million. A centerman version of Matthias Janmark.
Yeah, I think with these cheaper deals, these players need to be able to kill penalties, which maybe that doesn't help a guy like Connor Sherry or the guy next I'm going to talk about too. But yeah, like a Lars Eller, again, like you are trying to find guys who have experience of going on long cup runs. And yeah, Eller won it with Washington, right? He was on a Colorado team that had been there before. Like, I don't, was he on the Montreal team when they went, or was that past his time?
I think it was past his time. He watched him by then.
But I don't mind Eller. Like you said, it didn't go perfectly for him in Colorado, but I think he's a good depth option. Yep. And that's what the team needs. You need depth. We saw that in the playoffs.
Yeah. Let's catch up on what the chat is saying, because there's a few things that caught my eye in the YouTube chat. Korb says, Broberg to Seattle for Soucy. Soucy's a UFA. You do not need to trade anything for him. You can sign him for free. Loomis says Taves would look worse than Kane did in Long Island, or sorry, in New York with the Rangers. I don't fully agree with that, because you're not going to be asking Taves to play a top six role for you. Complimentary role. That's all you need from him.
It's also a bit different because you're asking Kane to come in at the deadline and have an impact in like 20 games. You're asking Taves to come in July and then form his way around the team.
Naeem says Tyler wanted the Oilers to trade a first for Taves. I actually think the conversation was O'Reilly's going for a first. Taves won't cost you a first. Go get Taves if you want to get O'Reilly.
And I think the value on Taves maybe lessened as the season went on, but he's a guy at the deadline I would have liked to have on this team. But Bukestad worked out.
I'm trying to watch the Jays game while we do this and it's pissing me off.
I got another name for you.
All right.
Pissed off. What about a Ryan Donato? 14 goals this season. I think he had around 30.
What's he shoot? Left or right?
Lefty.
Yeah,
we need righties.
Yeah, we need righties.
What am I thinking?
Yep. Come on. Someone floated Tarasenko in there. He's in the top 50, so it doesn't tie into this conversation. Maynard, I think, answered it wonderfully. Tarasenko's a big city guy. He's not coming to Alberta. I think I agree with that.
I got one guy. Yep. I said this one before, and I didn't even say his name. Nola Chari.
Yeah, Tyler Mulick brought him up, and waiting because I know that's your boy. I like Achari. I think, again, if he comes in cheaper than a Nick Bjugstad, he doesn't have the size Bukestad does. So that makes me a little bit like, are the Oilers going to want that guy? But can kill penalties. Centerman scored 14 goals last year. All of them came at even strength, I believe. So
how was he with Toronto, actually, in the playoffs?
I think he was okay. I'm trying to like think back to
two goals.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Derek Ryan.
Is he faster, better Derek Ryan? Not long Derek Ryan, faster, better Derek Ryan.
Maybe. Points in 23 games, 4 goals for them. Not bad. He's always been a guy that scores more goals. He had a 20-goal season once. 7 assists. I love those guys. What, remember the Brandon Peary year? When he had like 15, 16 goals and one assist? Something crazy like that.
I remember bringing him up a few offseasons and being like, hey, like, interesting name. He knows how to play with skill. He scores a lot. And he never really panned out. He went to Vegas and 12 goals in 31 games one year.
There it is. Did you see 2015? 22 goals, 2 assists.
Fuck, that's so sick. What a year. What a season. Next year, 11 goals, 13 assists. He bounced around a ton. Chicago, Florida, Anaheim, Rangers, Golden Knights, back to Chicago for a game. Got to retire a Hawk. He's still in their organization, by the way. All right. I think that, Liam. I'm just going to say this name because I want to know how quickly you're going to say no. Out of the top 50,
okay,
could be a bargain, Milan Lucic.
Well, I'll say no, but hey.
Good.
Probably got good leadership. I would imagine he's really good around young guys.
Yeah, the leadership here was awesome. Nothing went wrong the first time around. Why not run it back?
Yeah, I got another name for you. See how quickly you say no to this one. Bring back Drake Caggiula. 28.
Isn't James Hamblin just new Drake Caggiula?
and James Hamblin is also new Tyler Benson. So
yeah, James Hamblin is also new Tyler Benson.
Drake Caggiula played in Wilkes-Barre and Scranton. So maybe you saw Michael Scott and Jim Halpert this year more than the NHL ice.
Sure, sure. There you go. There's our names outside of the top 50. Oh, D-man, Nick Holden. If you're looking for someone, maybe he's even like a two-way deal guy. I'm not quite sure where his game's at, like to that extent. But like St. Albert boy, shout out. Why not?
Well, shout out Show Park boy, Mark Pisick. I don't think he was on the top 50 either.
Yeah, Mark Pisick. We talked about him a little bit.
Do you know what though? On a serious note, on those two guys, like we spoke about throughout the playoffs, like how valuable a Chris Russell was because he's like a specialist penalty killer, he'll block shots. He has like a role, and that's the difference between him and a Broberg. Like maybe one of those two guys could be those guys, right? You never know.
All right, there you go. That's our short four giant offseason question for the day. Bargain bin free agents the Oilers could target. Taves at the top of the list. 6 or 7 other names. Eller, Achari, guys like that. To quote Moneyball, 50 feet of crap. I shouldn't be that mean to the guy, actually. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Luch. You don't deserve that. Anyways, got to give some love to our friends at Sherwood Ford. June's coming up, the month of June. Liam, famously, that's your favorite month of the year.
Yep.
And Sherwood Ford loves that month as well, because throughout the month of June, they're going to be making donations to the Strathcona Community Hospital Foundation for every test drive taken by consumers and prospective shoppers. This initiative encourages people to go check out the videos or vehicles, and it all goes to a good cause. I'm going to go every day and test drive the electric truck they have, the F-150 Lightning.
I'm going to go every day and find a green Ford Focus in their parking lot and just relive my glory days of when I had a green Ford Focus.
Very good. Very good. All right. Let's get to our Star Mechanical guest line for today. Star Mechanical Dottier, Edmonton's number one plumbing and heating company.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
I am so excited for this guy to make his show debut. It's Daily Faceoff prospect analyst Stephen Ellis. So many things I want to touch on, Stephen, including the Kyler Yamamoto jersey behind you. For people who don't know, not sure why they would, because it's your first time on the show, you have a great collection of jerseys. What's the story behind this Yamo one?
So there's a place in Toronto called SVP Sports, and it's like a discount jersey store. And I went in, bought a Patrick Maroon Oilers jersey. That was $15. I bought a Colin White jersey for, I think, $20. And then I got this for $9. So it's a legitimate Adidas authentic jersey. I have 80 jerseys, so I like to swap out which ones are there. You can also see there's a red and green one at the bottom there. That's a Montreal Canadiens game-worn jersey. Robert Lang from the 09 season, when they wore a bunch of different jerseys for the 100th anniversary. And my favorite one I got is Andre Devoe game-worn Atlanta Thrashers jersey from his one preseason game. I think it was his first and only shift before they cut him.
I was going to say, and he never, so if you look up his like Hockey DB, he doesn't have a single game played with them technically, yeah, right? Because his only one was in the preseason.
Yeah. So it took me a long time to find any facts about it. So preseason stats alone are just impossible to find. Also, by the way, you guys were talking about Milan Lucic. He's playing great on the top line of Canada, the World Championship.
Oh, yeah, you're dialed into the World Championships. How did Kazakhstan look?
Not very good. I've got both games going on right now. Latvia is beating Sweden, which could be a major upset. And then Canada's playing Finland, and they're winning 1-0. Kazakhstan came like, I don't know, third or fourth last.
Ah, third or fourth last? Who was behind? Great Britain.
Hey, we're not there yet.
No. Oh, you're not there.
No, it's who was no, Great Britain. Yeah, Great Britain's going up next year. It was Slovenia and Hungary are going down.
All right. Well, let's dig into the draft talk. Yes. Are we? Yeah, we're through the nonsense. We're going to zero in on the draft talk. Yeah,
I'm good.
Okay, we're good. Let's zero in on the draft here. Everyone knows Connor Bedard's going one. We kind of assume Adam Fantilli's going number two. My question: where does the drama start for you in this draft, Steven? Which pick are you going to be sitting and holding your breath for first?
Definitely number three. And it all really depends on what's going to go happen with Matvei Michkov. And, you know, I think, you know, I was in Switzerland for the under-18s and talking to people out there. I was like, what's the deal? And every team that I talked to seem to have completely different information on the player. It's almost as if the teams are trying to psych each other out as to like, oh, the Michkov did this, like you shouldn't draft him. Oh, okay. And then the other team will be like, oh, well, he did this. It's like there's so much uncertainty going on there. And he's got that long-term contract that's obviously a concern, and you know, a lot of question marks if he'll even come over afterwards. And to me, it's just like, if let's say he falls from third, and let's say Columbus doesn't pick him, and then Michkov comes and he ends up becoming this superstar player, you know, it's going to look really stupid on everybody that didn't pick him. To me, I think, you know, there's a good argument to say he's the second most skilled player in this draft behind Bedard. So for me, that's just the big question. Where does he go? And then now it's like Leo Carlson has been kind of seen as the number three if you take Michkov out of the equation. But what about Will Smith, U.S. National Development Team player, over 100 points, one of the first guys to ever do that. Just absolutely incredible player. Does he go number three? So that pick for Columbus, you know, I feel bad for them. They felt very confident they were to get that first pick. But for them, you know, there's opportunities there to still get a good player.
Do you think there's any chance Leo Carlson actually goes two over a Fantilli? It feels like he's a name that just continuously keeps growing. And he seems like every time someone talks about him, he's better than he was the last time they saw him.
Well, it looks like he just set up a goal, actually, Carlson for Sweden. So perfect timing to be asking that. Timothy Logan just got it for Sweden. But no, you know, for me, I still think just what Fantilli was able to do. You know, there's definitely a lot of recency bias. Like you look at Fantilli, like he had one of the best college seasons of all time. Then he goes to the World Championship, isn't getting a ton of points, and I think people are kind of forgetting about him. But for Leo Carlson, you know, I still think that, you know, very good player, number three, a guy that could, you know, bring size, play all roles. He's playing the wing right now, but he's playing center earlier in the tournament. I'm liking kind of how he's playing. He's looking confident right now, playing with Lucas Raymond. But, you know, for me, I still think it's got to be Fantilli number two. There's like, he's a number one most other draft years.
The Oilers won't be picking until the second round, and the darts I kind of want to see them throw are on skilled wingers. I just think that's the spot where like, you can get someone, elevate them, you know, not quickly, but maybe a little bit faster than another position, and they could make an impact next to a McDavid or Drysdale. When the Oilers step up in the second round, what do they pick in? Like
56, 56? I think it is.
At 56, any like skilled wingers that you really like in that range, or anyone that in general maybe you think has a chance of being a bit of a hidden gem late in the second round?
The one I'd be looking at is Jaden Perron, the Chicago Steel player, one of the smaller guys in the draft, 5'8", but he's just so smart. One of the best playmakers in the draft. You know, like I asked someone to compare him to another player and they're like, no, we'll just compare him to Jimmy Neutron. Like just the guy's like a genius in the way he plays the puck. I'm like, all right, this is one of my favorite scouts because he compares like speedy prospects to like different F1 cars. So that's always fun, but with him, it's just, you know, just he's again, just so smart, great playmaker. He was getting to play with some talented players, including Macklin Celebrini, who is the top prospect for next year. So he know he can play with quality guys. But the one I would be looking at there too is how would you be willing if the Oilers took a decent goalie?
I just feel like Skinner's going to be your guy for the next handful of years. You got Rodrigue playing behind him.
Fanti, they got that other guy last year too. Yeah. But I mean, I don't think you can ever have too many goalies in the system. Who are you thinking?
I'm thinking Adam Gaillon, the goalie from Slovakia at the summer or the winter World Juniors. And, you know, he's a guy that some scouts think could be a first round pick. I disagree. Wow. But if he's around there, that 56 pick, it's like he's 6'3", I think. He's big. He's just got so much momentum. He's, you know, improved his play so much that, you know, the sky's the limit for him, that he could be just this huge boom goaltender for them in the draft. So I would say, you know, if he's available, he'd be someone I think the team definitely has to look at. You know, again, you can't go wrong with having too many goalies. What if Stuart Skinner turns into playoff Stuart Skinner again next year, like all year long, and then you still got Jack Campbell not really being the answer and you don't know what you're doing. So it doesn't hurt to have a guy like that in the system long term.
Don't say stuff like that. Anyways, what do you have next?
there's a defenseman I like kind of, and I think he's around the range you others could be picking. Like, what do you think of a guy like Caden Price? He seems like someone since the Hlinka has just really risen his stock too, but no one really talks about him as much. Do you think he's someone in that range you others could take?
Yes, I do. I think he's going to be kind of like a late second round pick there. You know, I liked him at the under 18s. I thought he was a very good playmaker, one of the better puck movers down the ice, very mobile. You know, depends on kind of like, I feel like he's almost better when he doesn't play a ton in a game, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. Like he was a big minute muncher for Kelowna, but I felt some of his best hockey was with Canada, where he was like, you know, sometimes playing 14, 15 minutes a night. So I think that he's a guy that, you know, I sometimes question his defensive play, which, you know, was never a good thing for a defenseman. And that's becoming kind of a theme with this year's draft with the blue liners. It's, you're going to get a lot of skill, but not a lot of guys who are actually really good in their own zone. With Price, I feel like, you know, the ceiling is not super high, but can maybe be a decent second, third pairing defenseman. So yeah, I'd say that's a guy that they could definitely target for there.
Anyone else you want to ask about?
I, everyone, to be honest, well, but this guy isn't going to fall to the Oilers, but I love Zach Benson, and I believe you also love Zach Benson. Like, what do you think of him? And like, where do you think you could go? It feels like you could even go as high as five, I think.
I feel like there's some belief that he could fall a little bit. I was thinking number five for a while, just the way Will Smith kind of finished his season. I'm like, I have a hard time putting him there. But, you know, he's just, you know, so skilled, so competitive, definitely not fall into number 56. That's for sure. But you know, he's a guy that will become a fan favorite, just the way he works and the way he'll always fight for pucks. And, you know, there are points when he's not scoring, where he's maybe not great defensively. You know, maybe not the highest speed skater I've ever seen, but I think there's just, then he's got enough of that skill, enough of those smarts, and enough of the competitiveness that he's someone where if he was taking a fifth, I wouldn't be like, oh, that's a surprise for the Montreal Canadiens. I'd say, yeah, you know, that actually kind of makes sense.
You have an article out about overage prospects right now on dailyfaceoff.com. Maybe take me through a couple of guys who are your favorites who might be around maybe later in the draft.
Yeah. So, you know, with this year, you know, kind of the thing about this year's overagers is just because of all the COVID like shutdowns a couple of years ago that really kind of hurt though some of those players' status, there's an opportunity here to get some good guys. And one I'm looking at is Kosha Delic from Sudbury, a guy that I watched a lot at the U16 level and thought, this guy, you know, a lot of skill. Let's just see if he can be that. You know, he's got a lot of energy. Is he going to be a high end scorer? I don't think so. But I think that he's someone where you could burn him in a bottom six. He'll fight for every play. He'll be kind of like a, more like a Ryan McLeod, I guess, if you want to give somewhat of a comparison. And Ryan McLeod's a guy that actually, I used to work for the Oakville Blades junior A team, and I got to see his first junior A game when he played for the team. And that was really cool. Him and Evan Bouchard were teammates in that game. That was awesome. Thomas Milic, again, going back to the goalie I thought he was outstanding at the World Juniors. He only had lost three games in regulation, three games in the playoffs for the Seattle WHL team, and they're going to be playing for the Memorial Cup. So he'll be someone to watch. And Thomas Suhanik, another goalie, he was a Czech goalie in the World Juniors. We saw what he was able to do, really kind of save that team, and he gave that team a fighting chance in the summer tournament. His stats don't look great, but you got to look at the context of, like, the Czechs were just not a good team. And he was able to go out there and steal the show against the Americans and move in to the Final Four. And then another guy that, it doesn't seem like the NHL Central Scouting is a huge fan of him, but I know a lot of people have told me privately they think he's a good player, is Bo Jelsma from the Barrie Colts. And, you know, just such an energetic forward. Like, he plays like the perfect fourth line energy guy, but he's on the first line and he gets all that ice time and he scores those goals. I love to see things like that. He's just 5'9", so that's the concern. So I don't think there's like a huge, like, really big impact overage player this year, but the depth of it is pretty solid at every position.
There you go.
I got two, but I'll put it in, I'll wrap it into one.
Let's go.
I guess the first part of it is, who's one player in this draft you think not enough people are talking about? And I guess also, just what's the overall thoughts on this draft? Like, what does everyone think about it going into it?
So to kind of go for that, I don't think it's an elite draft. I think, you know, the high end is a super high end, but the fact there's no real number one goalie and, you know, the defense is not as great. There's no standout defenseman. Definitely, like, nobody good from the QMJHL. This is not an elite draft, but a very good first round for sure. One guy I think that is going to end up becoming one of the biggest steals of the draft is Oscar Fisker Mølgaard, a Danish player playing in Sweden. And, you know, he's someone I think could go late in that first round. He's He's got the speed, the skill, so competitive. And we've seen him in Denmark in the World Championship. Didn't put up any points, but he was creating chances. He was always buzzing, always fighting for those pucks. So he's someone where I would say there's a very good chance that in 5 years, we're talking about Mølgaard maybe being in the top five best players in this draft. But he might not even be a first round pick just because he didn't put up a ton of points this year. But just the raw skill is definitely there.
Interesting. Interesting stuff as always, Mr. Ellis. Before we let you go, we have a bit on this show where we fire up the trade machine. Mm-hmm. Brought to you by AMA Travel. Head to amatravel.ca/dreams to find out how they can make your summer vacation a dream. And we gave Stephen Ellis the keys to the trade machine today. What did you cook up for us, Mr. Ellis?
Well, I was looking at it, and after reading Matt Larkin's article for Daily Faceoff today about the Hurricanes going out there needing some scoring help, my idea was getting DeBrincat from Ottawa for a first rounder, second rounder, and Ryan Suzuki. And, you know, I don't know from a salary cap perspective how easy that would be to do that. But from a player's perspective, you know, Ottawa continues to get those picks they need. Suzuki going out there and getting a nice, you know, new home, see what he's able to do. And then for DeBrincat, he's that goal scorer that the Hurricanes were really missing, especially with Pacioretty out of the lineup. So, you know, I think the Hurricanes are just getting started. They got a few more good competitive years, and getting a guy like DeBrincat, who the Senators might not be able to afford, if they can make it work from a cap perspective, I say, yeah, do it.
Yeah, I think that's actually a really interesting one. I'm having a hard time deciding who would say no to that, because for Ottawa, like, you gave up a first, a second, and a third to get to DeBrincat. You're going to get a first, a second, and a good prospect back. That's like actually not the worst return on investment either. Give you some picks to maybe shop around and improve your team elsewhere, or get some more prospects in your system. And if you're Carolina, I mean, one, you have a first, a second, and a third this year. Next year, you have a first, 2 seconds, and a third, which is why I threw some years onto those picks as well to give a bit of context. They're like, they have an extra second rounder in 2024 they could dangle, and you have 20-some million dollars in cap space. You could easily afford Alex DeBrincat. Liam, who says no?
No one.
The trade goes through.
Trade complete.
There you go. Stephen Ellis, you're one for one on the trade machine. Thanks for hopping on today. We'll have to do this again because there was a bunch of questions in the chat we just didn't have time to get to.
Sure, no problem.
Yeah, there you go. Stephen Ellis, draft analyst for dailyfaceoff.com, all around hockey machine wizard. He's a smart guy. You threw a couple of, like, you know all the names. You throw them his way and he just crushes them out. It's like Vladdy facing the player, the position player pitching. He just crushes them out of the park.
I probably could have gone all day. I had a lot of questions I wanted to ask, but it was still like a month or so away. So I'm sure we'll get Stephen on again at some point and we'll get a better idea of what the Oilers are even thinking at 56. So far.
I'm going to be in Nashville for the draft doing some exciting stuff. And yeah, sitting there in that room the whole first day, no Oilers to talk about, will certainly be a weird one. But Connor Bedard expected to go number one. People in the chat were like, do you think there's a chance he refuses to wear the Hawks jersey? No way.
No.
0% chance.
I don't think so. Yeah. I think he'll, I think there's a very good chance that he is 100% a Sharko Bakko.
Yeah. We got to do our player grade today for Star Mechanical. You need 24/7 emergency service. Boom. Give him a call. 780-481-8873 is how you can get a hold of him. Two grades today because there's two players we need to hit on. First up, Liam, we couldn't skip him, even though I kind of wanted to, but you talked me out of it. A player grade for Devin Shore. Yes. 47 games this year, scored a goal, 8 assists, 9 points, plus 6. Great stuff, Devin Shore. Pictured here in number 14. We're grading him as if he's number 19 because that's when the real Devin Shore showed up. I gave him a C-plus in the regular season. For the playoffs, he didn't play, but he was good in the room, so I gave him a D. And chance of returning, 25%. Caveat, if he's willing to take a two-way deal and play in Bakersfield, it's higher than this.
Yeah, I'm surprised you even gave him a grade for the playoffs. You must have really seen. Yep, great in the room, great pregame skate guy.
Yeah.
He brings everything you need for a guy that never plays. I mean, yeah, I guess. Like, it's so hard to grade this guy because I know he played 47 games, but what is he playing? Like, his combined minutes must have been like maybe 100 this season, right? Like,
he would get like 6-7. I bet you he was at like 4. Let's, you know what?
Let's look.
Let's figure it out.
We can do this.
What's your guess? My guess, I'm going to say he played 47. I'm going to say he played 340 all strength minutes.
I'll go 362.
362. You're going to have to give me a second here to look it up. What did I say?
347, I think.
And you said 362?
Yeah.
Dun, 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 waiting for natural stat trick to load. 310?
310.
How did you
guess? That's
get
what it is?
I have him at four. No, that's my guess. Your guess is 310. We were all under 421 all-purpose minutes for our pal Devin Shore. So there you go. Good on him. Anyways.
I'd give him a C and a NA for playoffs. Yeah,
that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
So that was riveting, obviously. So we did another player grade. And let's talk about Klim Shady. Why not? Shows up in a preseason deal, plays 57 games for the Oilers, pops home 11 in goals, has a couple of monster goals in the playoffs. You had the big winner in that series against LA, and then the big game six as well, where he pops home a few. This guy came in, gave the Oilers toughness, gave them grit, gave them a bottom six guy who brought some swagger and physicality to this team. They needed it. Good, skilled bottom six guys who aren't afraid to shed the mitts, endearing to the fan base. Got him for Samarikov, which now feels like you basically got him for free, if I'm being honest. Regular season, A-, just because there were a little bit of inconsistencies there. I will say some of that was just because they didn't play him a ton. I would have loved to see him get eight games next to McDavid and say, just get comfortable, see what he can do. So it's not entirely his fault. His grade is an A-, but he was still awesome. And in the playoffs, if a guy who you're playing 6 to 8 minutes a game can have two memorable games out of the 12 you played, that's an A for me as well.
He's the kind of player you need if you're going to go win a Stanley Cup, right? And the Oilers just needed more in front of Clint Costin. Yeah. He was playing like maybe 5 minutes a night in some games. But yeah, I think it was a very fair assessment of him in the regular season. Like you said, there was some inconsistencies, but there was points where the Oilers played him in the top six and gave him the opportunity to go and do it because he made that an option for them. So for a guy that came up halfway through the year because of injuries, I think it was a very fair. And yeah, I think his playoffs I think it's fair to say he was probably the Oilers' fourth best forward in the playoffs. You could maybe even say third. Draisaitl, McDavid, Klim Shady.
It's like arguing which tire on your car is the flattest, right? Like, he was good. I'm not saying he was, but like if we're sitting here being like, oh damn, Klim Costin, third best player in the playoffs, that's more of an indictment on other guys. And
that is true. It's probably not a good thing, a guy who played 5 minutes. But yeah, I like it. I hope that chance of returning turns into 100%. Obviously got to get a contract done, but he is a restricted free agent.
Yeah, so he's an RFA with arb rights. I don't think his arb case is particularly good. I think his arb case probably comes in at like 1.4, 1.5. Those are going to qualify him in all likelihood. I just, 2 years, 1.3 per. If you're Klim Costin, why would you not take that? Play here. You know this organization will keep you in the NHL. They like you here. You fit in, like the city. Take a two-year deal. Try to really get things moving in a good direction. Mm. And then in 2 years, see where you're at. Maybe you can get a bigger deal.
Klim, we love you.
We do.
Please come back to Edmonton next season and help us win a Stanley Cup.
Please, yes.
You are him. Klim is him.
Klim is him. Or Klim is him.
Klim is he.
Tyler Mulick, Yamamoto for Jeff Carter, 1-for-1. Who says no? Jeff Carter last year playing with the Penguins, one. They're both the same cap hit. Mm-hmm. Jeff Carter could be a centerman for you. So that's interesting. Scored 13 goals, 16 assists last season with the Penguins. I don't know. I'm really torn on that. I'm trying to see. He's got a no move clause. There's no way.
Nah, I don't see Jeff Carter leaving the Penguins. Crosby will have something to say about that. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's wrap up the show by taking a look at the Betway Other Sport Report. What are we calling it? I forget what we call it.
Out of Town School. No, that's it, man.
No, whatever. Anyway, shout out to Betway. Are you betting on the Stars keeping their season alive tonight?
Well, they won't have the goon Jamie Benn on the ice, so that might help them a little bit. Is Jake Oettinger going to show up? I'm going to say no. I think we got two sweeps on our hands. I know last time I said this would go back to Vegas, tied at two, but
Dallas lost my trust.
Yeah, Dallas, you're not in my heart anymore, and I unfortunately have to pick Vegas to then lose to Florida in four in the final.
I'm also taking Vegas. They're underdogs tonight on Betway.
Are they really?
Makes no sense.
I can't bet on them, though. I just don't have it in me.
I know. I hate them. I'm going to be rooting for Florida so hard.
I'm betting on the Celtics to win tonight, though. They play Miami.
You think they're going to keep it alive?
Yeah, I think they'll probably go six.
I'm betting on the first quarter over.
Yeah, I've heard that's a big thing for you.
That's my thing. I don't have any data behind it, but I love it. It's electric. I don't even know that. Also, the Blue Jays. Oh, no. Someone in the chat said they PVR'd it, so they don't want me to ruin it.
What is the... I got to find... I don't know. The spread's so big. Like, the fact the spread is 8.5 in this Celtics series is... There's tremendous disrespect. If I wasn't a Celtics fan, I'd be putting everything on Miami.
Yeah.
I but Miami is plus 260 to win the game.
I'm betting on Miami.
Yeah. I don't blame you. Yeah.
Tyler Mulick says Butler puts it away. Lance says, rest in peace, Liam's wallet.
Yeah. Farewell. It's already, it was one a long time ago. Yeah. When the Oilers got eliminated in six.
Alrighty. Big shout out to Star Mechanical, Sherwood Ford, The Giant, Sports Closet, as always, from the Sports Closet Studio, AMA Travel. Shout out to Stephen Ellis for hopping in as well. I feel like the amount of nonsense we can get into with Stephen Ellis, if he's a bit more of a regular, he could be a very good part of this show.
He's got a lot of stories, it seems like. It's the first time I've ever spoken to him, but the jersey tale is something. I wish I knew what that store. I wish I had that store in Edmonton.
But you would just end up with so many jerseys you don't need.
I know. I'm like, I already have so many I don't need.
Dude, that was my thing when I worked at Jersey City. Is just like when you're sitting in the store for as long as I would, eventually every jersey becomes appetizing to you. And then you have your discount. Things go on sale. You know when they're going on sale. Mm. It's ridiculous.
What is the one jersey you have that is stupid?
I once paid like $80 for a James Neal Golden Knights jersey. And like, it's a cool jersey, but I don't want it.
I have a Jonas Jaboyko jersey. Do you know who that is?
No.
He is the only Swedish player to ever play in the NBA. And he played for Boston. And I got his jersey and he would play like 3 minutes a night. But I thought it was hilarious. And I just had this, I would always play him in 2K. And my buddies bought me the jersey.
Is it a real one or a knockoff?
It is a real, it cost him a decent amount of money from the NBA store. And they had to be custom because they don't make Jonas to boycott jerseys.
And one day when we have this conversation 10 years down the line, you'll talk about your Devin Shore jersey.
One day.
Thanks to everyone who tuned in. Hit the like button before you go. We had a like goal today and we forgot to talk about it.
103. I don't think that many people even watched.
Let's get those numbers up. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button before you go. Frank Saravalli and the return of Jay, I believe, tomorrow.
Yes, I spoke to Jay prior to the show and he said he'd likely be on tomorrow.
So Frank and Jay, we're going to have a good time on a Friday edition of Oilers Nation Every Day, live from the Sports Closet Studio. Enjoy your Thursday night. We'll see you tomorrow.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, hockey heads, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards while each round's champs pocket cold, hard cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go.